Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The hour is coming, indeed it's already come, when everybody's going to be scattered, and everyone will go to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. The Gospel of the Lord. I heard about a priest who has moved into a new parish, and I guess he was feeling kind of lonely, so the parish council president invited him over for dinner, and he got all dressed up, wanted to make a good impression, and wore his collar and his blacks and everything, and went over to the dinner, and the parish council president and his wife were there, and they had three children, and the youngest girl was voted Miss Talkative in the first grade. But the little girl, during the dinner, she wasn't saying a word. All she was doing was just sitting there looking at the priest and looking at his priest collar. So the priest wanted to make some conversation with the little girl, so he took his collar off, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, but inside it has, in raised white letters, it has the cleaning instructions. It says, cleanse with soap and water. So she takes it off, and he takes it off and says to the young girl, he says, do you know what this says in here? The little girl says, yeah, kills fleas for 6 months. So I wanted to share with you a story that I heard. I know most of you have heard this story about, it's called Footprints. And this person has this dream, and during the dream he sees two sets of footprints. And then as his life is reviewed in the dream, the lonely times and the hard times and the discouraging times and the suffering times, he only sees one set of footprints. And then in the dream, he says to the Lord, he says, I don't understand this. When times were good, I saw your footprints with me. But when I was going through the hard times, I only saw one set of footprints. What's going on? And Jesus said to him, my child, when you were going through the hard times, the footprints that you saw were mine because I was carrying you. What you have to understand that when you're going through a lonely time or a hard time or a difficult time, it may not seem like God is there. But that's when you have to understand that God is oftentimes carrying you through those hard times. He is holding you in the palm of his hand, and he's right there with you. I think one of the hardest times for Jesus was when he was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember, his disciples fell asleep on him, and he went to them and said, couldn't you just watch with me for an hour? You know, you've left me alone here. I'm suffering in agony. And then, of course, when he was crucified on the cross, although there were people standing around, it was that moment where he quoted the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus felt that desolation, that loneliness, that real bitterness, if you will, of being forsaken. Of course, God didn't forsake him. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that an angel appeared to him. It was on the cross that Jesus experienced resurrection. It was through the cross that he experienced resurrection, and on the cross that he experienced the power of God in a way only known to him. And many people are suffering with this emotion, I guess we could call it, of loneliness. And loneliness doesn't mean that you're alone necessarily, because you can be lonely in a marriage. You can be lonely in a community. You can be lonely in a church setting. It doesn't mean that you're alone, but rather loneliness means that you feel like you're not connected, or you feel like you don't belong, or it's your own self-perception that you feel like you're unacceptable or not valued or not worthwhile or unlovable. That's what loneliness is. Do you realize that even stardom or fame does not mean that you won't be lonely? I think about Princess Di. If you remember, Princess Diana suffered from loneliness. They say Judy Garland Marilyn Monroe, you know, they had fame, they had money, they had people all around them, but they were lonely deep inside. Recent pop songs that have been out, Roy Orbison sang a song, Only the Lonely. America, the group America, sang, you know, this is for all the lonely people. You know, not everybody always feels lonely, but loneliness is epidemic, and it's hitting a lot of different people. And as I said, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily alone. You can be alone and not feel lonely, and you can be in a group and feel lonely. But what it means is that you don't feel connected. Something's wrong. You don't feel like you belong. And as I said, you feel about yourself that you're unacceptable or not valued. So you feel lonely. And that can happen, you know, in the midst of people. Our society, of course, we belong to a society where we want to be connected. We want to be with people. It's not good to be alone. That's right from the first letter of our first book of Genesis. It's not good to be alone. And I remember, you know, when I fly in airplanes and we land, they don't let you talk on a cell phone during the flight. But as soon as you land, an announcement comes, welcome to Houston or welcome to New York. You are now allowed to talk on your cell phones. And immediately people power those things on. They want to get connected. They want to talk to their loved ones. They want to find out about their business. Then I think about the internet. And we live in a society now where people are connecting with other people through the internet, chat rooms and Facebook and Twitter and websites and all these different things. Why is that? Because people want to be connected. I'm even having a book study on Facebook. You don't even have to leave your home. You can read my book at your home, connect with other people on Facebook, and study the book and chat and talk and give your impressions, listen to other impressions. So it's being connected, that idea of being in community and connecting with other people that keeps you from being lonely. And that's very important. Dating services are online now. People are lonely. They're looking for the right mate. They're looking for people to connect with. And so they've turned to dating services because oftentimes, you know, they're shy. They don't want to go to a bar or, you know, meet somebody there. So an interesting way where people are actually starting to get married and meeting other people are through these chat rooms. And to me, it's all symptomatic of the wider disease of people feeling lonely, and they want to connect and they want to get together with other people. I know that one of the ways that people deal with loneliness is by watching TV. Oftentimes I'll make these personal appearances in New York or Houston or Baton Rouge where I've been on TV, and people will come up to me and they say, Father, we feel like we know you because we watch you on TV and you've told us about your life. So in other words, TV is a place where you can connect and somehow deal with the loneliness in your life. So what I simply want to say is that even if you have the best of lives, the best of marriage, you know, and you're a part of a community, and you're having a good life, everybody experiences loneliness at one time or another. It comes into everybody's life, no matter who you are. Even Jesus, as I said, experienced loneliness. But in the scripture reading, as we heard, he said that even though you all leave me alone, I'm not alone because God is with me. And that's one of the keys that I want you to get about loneliness, that whole idea of footprints that sometimes when you're going through your hardest times or seemingly the deepest loneliness, it's at that moment that God is carrying you, even though it doesn't feel like it. You might be saying, why have you forsaken me? But it's at that moment that God is there. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. Please get that. It's not by emotions, not by feelings. It's by faith. And we believe, we trust, we know deep within that God is there. And sometimes he carries us through those hardest moments. And so Jesus said, you know, even though you may leave me alone, I'm not alone. God is with me. And, you know, they say that it's lonely at the top. Sometimes that loneliness can bring you to a deeper relationship with God. It's in your loneliness. That's one of the positive things about feeling disconnected or feeling alone. It's that suffering, that inner turmoil that can actually lead you to God. I always say that, you know, it's the sufferings in my life that actually gravitate me toward God. It's the loneliness, it's the hurts, it's the emptiness, it's the pain that we feel that can move you toward God. So if you're going through some loneliness or some hardships, That is the time that you can move toward God. I believe that God will use that to, like a magnet, pull you to Him. So think about what you're going through. Perhaps there's some type of a cosmic loneliness in you. And some of you maybe just were flipping through the channels and you came upon my program, and that's exactly what you're going through. You have an emptiness within. You have this loneliness within, and you've been searching. Well, Jesus is the one who can fulfill your heart, the only one. You can have all kinds of good relationships and be in a good marriage and have a great job, and you can still feel this cosmic loneliness within because you know that there's something missing. And that happened to me when I was 19 years old, and I came to Christ, and I gave Him my heart, and He took away that emptiness. And I pray that that'll happen for you. I want you to keep watching my programs, perhaps buy some of my books, and get that deep personal relationship with God. And may your loneliness drive you to God more deeply. He's not giving you loneliness, but He'll use it to make good happen. There's been a couple of times when I've really experienced loneliness in my life. And as I said, everybody experiences loneliness. When somebody dies, when you lose a job, when you have a breakup, you can really go through a lonely period in your life, and it's hard. Well, there's been a couple times in my life that I've experienced loneliness, and it's been very difficult for me. And one of them was when my dad died. This was about 11 years ago. My dad was my biggest friend, my best friend, my biggest supporter. We used to sit and talk about all kinds of different things, and we just got along so well. And when he died, it was just like there was this emptiness. I missed our conversations. It was very hard for me. Of course, I grieved, and I moved through it. But it was a tremendous moment of loneliness for me. And another time that I experienced loneliness is, you know, I travel a lot because I preach parish missions around the country. Whenever I go on a mission, I leave what's familiar. I leave my community, get on an airplane. I go into a place where most of the people don't know me. Maybe they've seen me on TV, but I don't know who they are. All unfamiliar territory. I go into a room that, you know, they have for me that I've never been to before. I don't know anybody. I'm about to preach in front of all these people. I will go into my room sometimes, and I will literally feel vertigo come over me. That's when you feel dizzy. And I'll feel weakness in my body. And, you know, I know that there's pressure. I have to give all these talks. I don't know anybody. And I will feel alone and lonely. And it's very difficult. I have to adjust. I have to get reoriented. And what I do when I'm in the midst of that situation, when I'm feeling really lonely, is I turn to God. And when I turn to God, you have to understand something. I don't always feel God. Sometimes it's just like I'm praying and I still, you know, it's hard. And I understand that when you pray and when you come to God in your loneliness, maybe you don't feel it, but I want you to know that God is there and He will help you. And He will strengthen you. And your instinct is correct, that in your loneliness, maybe it's you've lost a spouse, you've lost a child, you've lost a parent, and in your grieving, in your loneliness, that's the time to find God more deeply. Even though it doesn't feel like it, trust me, God is there. And as I said, you know, on the missions, when sometimes I'm feeling really lonely and I turn to God, I don't always feel it, but I know God is there. And you know how I know God is there? Through trust. Through faith. Because I have been through so much in my life. I've been on many missions, hundreds of missions, where I've felt that over and over and over again, where I've felt lonely. But I've relied on God and leaned on God and come to God, and God has strengthened me. So I know that when it happens again, not to just to rely on my feelings, but to trust and to lean on the everlasting arms. And that's what I'm inviting you to do through this program, is whether you feel it or not, understand and trust that God is there for you. And remember, and this is really important, I want you to remember, this is from your memory, that God has upheld you and helped you in the past. He has sustained you, and therefore He's going to help you in the future. See, the call of God is irrevocable. What do I mean by that? This is right from the scripture, that when God calls a person, when He blesses a person, he doesn't turn back on that. So in other words, if He's touched you in the past, that means that He's going to be with you forever. He's going to help you through this. And if you're going through a difficult time right now, trust me, he's there with you. If you remember the story in the New Testament, we're talking about memory of God now. In the New Testament, Jesus calls Peter, James, and John up the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John, remember now, they were the ones that were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when they fell asleep. They were his closest disciples. They were the ones that were supposed to be with Jesus in his hour of need. And they fell asleep on him. Well, anyway, there was another time he called them up to another mountain, and not the Mount of Olives where the Garden of Gethsemane is, the Mount Tabor in Galilee. And if you remember, Jesus was gloriously transfigured. And Peter, James, and John, they're like, wow, this is beautiful. Look at Elijah and Moses are here. Let's build tents. This is so good. Let's stay here. This is good. Well, the purpose of that story, and we have it in Lent, the second week of Lent every year, is because there's a long time to go in Lent, and that story serves as an early Easter to strengthen us so that when we face Lent and the hardships and the trials, when they came down from the mountain, they face a possessed boy and all kinds of difficulties, the prediction of the passion, all kinds of tribulations. And it's the memory of the glory and the touch and the blessing that strengthens you and sustains you when you're going through the valleys of life. And so that's what happens with me. When I'm going through the hardships, the loneliness, and the hard times, you know what I do? I remember how God has helped me in the past, how he has sustained me in the past, the victories that he's given me in the past. That's how David did it when he stood before Goliath. He has this big giant before him. He's got two little stones. And he says, well, I remember how God, when the bears were attacking me and the lions were attacking me, how God gave me victory over them, and now he's going to give me victory here. So when you face your giants, whatever they are, remember the victories that God has given you in the past. I talk to people who are struggling in marriages, who are lonely, who are hurting, who are going through tribulations. It's interesting. Every time a person will sit down with me, I'll listen for something. And here's what I listen for. Not just the struggles, not just the tribulations that they're going through, not just the loneliness. I listen for the way that God has touched them in the past. And inevitably, I will hear something like, oh, Father, when I was 15 years old, God sent this angel to me and I had this dream and he touched me, or I had this vision, or I had this consolation in prayer, or I had this, or I had that. And I'll stop them and I'll say, I want you to hear what you just said. God has touched you. The call of God is irrevocable. He's not going to leave you now. And I want you to remember how God has touched you in the past and bring that into the present. Do you know that's exactly what we do at Eucharist? Eucharist, or Mass, is called a dynamic remembering. The official theological word for this is anamnesis. The anamnesis is when we bring the redemptive act of Jesus on the cross right into the present. Mass is not another sacrifice. It is a making present of the one sacrifice of Jesus. So what we're doing is we're remembering dynamically, so dynamically that we bring it into the moment. We bring it into the present, and thus it's efficacious, it's powerful. We're remembering the redemption, the salvation, the deliverance that God has given us. That's what we're remembering at Mass. So what am I asking you to do? When you're going through a hard time, when you're going through a struggle, remember dynamically how God has touched you in the past, and what that does is it'll bring it right into the present. So you're feeling lonely. You come to God and you say, Lord, maybe I don't feel you right now, but I believe and I remember how you've touched me in the past. And I know that you've taken me this far by faith, and you're not going to leave me. That's what God wants. He wants some trust. And that's what I do in my life whenever I'm struggling. So anyway, when you feel alone, know that God is there. You come to God. You remember God. And God will hold you. Remember the story of footprints. You're not alone. He's the one that's carrying you, even though you don't feel it. And that's the problem with loneliness. The feelings abound, but God is there to help you, even though you don't feel it. Oftentimes, I'll hear from elderly people, widows, widowers, that they feel lonely. They've outlived their spouse. They've outlived their friends. You know, it's very difficult for them. And here's a couple tips. Experts will tell us, you know, how you handle loneliness apart from God and in addition to God. And that would have to do with, you have to take the initiative. If you just sit around and if you wait for people to come to you, it's probably not going to happen. And it's the same in finding a spouse. You know, you have to really take the initiative and look. Well, anyway, do things like play cards. My mother's 87 years old, and she gets together with people all the time. They play cards. She has a great time, you know, getting together with others. But you got to go outside yourself to make these things happen. Get involved in the church and the community. Try volunteering. You know, when you help another person, you get yourself off your mind. When I'm engaged in ministry, whether it be TV or going on missions and everything, at first it's a little difficult for me and I feel some loneliness. But then when I get into it, it's amazing. I start to meet people, start to minister to their needs, start to work with those people. I forget all about my problems. I forget about loneliness. Because why? I'm helping people. And God is working through me. And he'll work through you too. I love what Paul the Apostle did. Remember Paul the Apostle? He was in prison. You know, if there's any lonely place, God-forsaken place, it's the prisons, especially back 2,000 years ago. Here's Paul in prison. You know what Paul did in prison? He wrote letters. I hope you get that. He wrote letters in prison. That's a beautiful thing to do when you're struggling and you're lonely. Write a letter. Write an email. And not only did Paul write letters, he wrote a lot of the New Testament in prison. And in one of the letters, this is what he said. He said, my imprisonment has actually a positive thing. It has served to proclaim the gospel to all the people, he said. He said, that's such a positive statement. He said that in prison, his imprisonment had actually served to further the gospel. And maybe your loneliness can actually serve to deepen your relationship with God and to turn your life around. But it's all about a positive attitude, isn't it? A woman I know in Houston, Texas, I asked her, you know, how she dealt with loneliness. She lost her spouse. She sent me an email about this. And she said, I'll speak from the loneliness that senior people experience. After my husband died, it was hard to get through the whole day without any companionship. And there was nobody to share meals with, nobody to have conversations with. She said, I solved that by joining a number of senior groups, AARP, our church, women's CWO, Bible study class, and by volunteering. And I saw her the other day and I said, you know, I got your email and I'm so thankful because you are a woman of passion. And you didn't just sit around feeling sorry for yourself because your husband died and wallowing in the loneliness like many people do. And that's so easy to do. You want to feel sorry for yourself. And I'm praying that by the anointing of God that you'll move and take the initiative and get involved and help other people. And you watch. You know, you get yourself off your mind. God will work in you and he'll do great things. I remember that one of the hardest times I ever had was moving away to college. And when I moved away, this is when I was a young person, and you know, I did some studying about loneliness. When you move away to college, it can be a very difficult time in a person's life because you don't know anybody and you're moving. And I remember when I got my packet that talked about my orientation, it said, you have a choice. You can either sit in your dorm room all day and just kind of close in on yourself, or you can go out and get involved with people. And I thought to myself, you know, that orientation packet wasn't just an orientation packet for college. It's really an orientation package for all of life. You can either just kind of sit in your own home and close in on yourself, feel sorry for yourself, or you can reach out and help people and get involved in community. I'm an introverted person. I was never really all that outgoing, and I never really wanted to help or reach out to all kinds of people. And then I realized something about my life. My life was passing me by. And I realized that God was calling me to reach out to people. And I'm not a really lonely person. But I'm a person that wants to obey God, and I can tell you this, that God is community-minded. And that if you do feel lonely, and if you are closing in on yourself, this is one of the ways out. But you have to take the initiative. That's really important. Lastly, I want to say this. Jesus really struggled with people and not being understood, feeling disconnected, being betrayed, being denied, as I said. But he said, I'm not alone. God is with me. And that's the thought that I want to leave you with. It's that footprint scene. There's one set of footprints there. And it's not yours. God is carrying you. That is the great promise that we have from the Bible. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, and that's a name that means God with us. And the word with means to be close to, besides, and alongside of. Whether you feel it or not, I want you to know that God is with you. If you're feeling some loneliness, I want you to look in your heart. Have you come to God? Perhaps God is calling you through your loneliness to something deeper. I know when I'm struggling with it on the road or grieving or whatever it is, it always brings me closer to God. And God touches me in beautiful ways. Remember how God has touched you in the past. If he's never touched you in the past and you're feeling this emptiness, come to him now. And I pray that you'll experience his grace. So I'm so grateful that you've tuned into the program. I want you to live with passion, and I want you to move through any loneliness that you feel and know that God is with you. He will never, ever, ever forsake you. That's right from the Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. God says, I will never, ever forsake you. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.